The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Okay, who's got the courage to say, no, you can't? I don't know how old she was. Reasonably older-looking woman wearing a jacket that said security on it. Tom Brady climbs the railing and looks at this Packers security guard and says, is it okay if I hug my son?
Yeah, that was a little odd.
Stand
right there.
Stand up and say, no, you're not allowed. No one's allowed down here, sir. No one's allowed down here.
Right.
And if you're the NFL, you can't be hugging fans in a pandemic.
Well, that was just...
Who's going to say no?
It's truly not a fan, though, right?
I know.
It's family is what it was, Douglas. I get your point. I understand what you're saying.
A rule is a rule.
But I think, as we all know right now, the whole pandemic thing, for the most part, it's okay if it's your family. It's okay. If you look at the clusters that were actually sitting at Arrowhead, right, the clusters of people, you could almost see these are family members, or what should have been family members, that were actually there showing up at Arrowhead, okay, showing up at Lambeau Field. You could almost see the clusters of families, right? That's what I think it came down to ultimately, and the rules are fair for everybody.
I'm laughing about it because she's technically supposed to say no. And like I said, who's saying no?
Yes.
Who is saying no in that situation?
You know what you're going to do right now? You're just going to act like you didn't hear me. You're going to look at what? 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 Just look up into the air. I have no idea Tom Brady's actually hugging his son.
What were you doing on...
That was so nice, though, of him to ask. That's so Brady.
It's so Brady.
Polite.
He was very polite when he asked. Looked right at her. Is it okay? Do you have any idea what you were doing on November 25th of 2002?
Let's see. 2002. Oh,
November 25th, 2002.
No, I do not, Douglas.
That was the day of the dumbest coaching decision of Marty Morenweg deciding, I've won the coin toss in overtime, and I'm going to kick off.
Okay, that was... Was that 2002?
That was 2002.
Oh, my.
We got to see the second dumbest ever coaching decision yesterday.
Oh, you're
kidding. Congratulations.
No way. What exactly?
There was a human being on the planet that said, I don't want Aaron Rodgers to have it. I want Tom Brady to have it.
Okay. I see what you're saying right now.
Aaron Rodgers. My chances increase of winning if I take the ball away from Aaron Rodgers and say, we're going to go out there and stop Tom Brady.
Yes, we're going to go out there and we're going to stop Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers, what a game that was. I will tell you right now, I was a little disappointed. I thought there was going to be some drama, real drama down the stretch in that game, and as it unfolded, there wasn't a whole lot of drama other than the fact that a back judge threw a DPI that was really, really late.
But do you agree with it? I totally agreed with the call.
I thought it was uncatchable.
I kind of did too.
I thought it was uncatchable.
I like Troy Aikman doing games a lot.
Yeah.
I wish they would have talked about that, especially with Mike Pereira. You've got a lot of money invested into Mike Pereira. I would like to have seen an angle because I thought the same thing. And I would have liked to have seen the back judge getting ready to throw the flag and almost stopping himself, realizing it was but I didn't want to argue it because I couldn't tell for sure with the right camera angle. But I'm actually with you on that.
Yeah, no, I did. I thought it was uncatchable when I saw it live. I thought it was uncatchable when they showed it from the end zone. Had a great end zone shot from it. Actually, the sky cam that was right behind Tom Brady. I thought that he airmailed that ball. Airmailed a couple of balls, as a matter of fact. But
like you'd like to see Evans come down with that one, but there's no doubt it wasn't an easy catch and the tipped interception then on the high throw.
There it is right there on the monitors here in Studio Shangri-La Base in Orleans. Yes, Tom Brady up there hugging his son with an awkward moment after as he was being interviewed as well, where he said, hey, can we interview somebody else here? I love that. Tom Brady wanted out of there. He did not want to be the end-all, be-all voice for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to Super Bowl 55. A grateful nation, are we not?
I know you're going to hear about it forever, and you've probably already heard it, but it is, it's an amazing accomplishment, and it's a little bit of blind luck, but still an amazing accomplishment. 54 Super Bowls, zero have been hosted by one of the two teams. And now we're here
there it is.
To have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing in a Super Bowl. And then the irony even gets deeper, Steve Berthiaume, that they're one of only, I think, four, maybe five Super Bowl teams that have won three straight road games.
Yeah.
So they win three straight road games, and now the only home game they get is the Super Bowl.
Yes, that is so odd right there, no doubt about it. But there have been some, it's been a little cheese ball, has it not? I mean, the Rams actually at one point, what was it? Super Bowl, what was it? What was the one that was, it was in Pasadena?
The Super Bowl.
The Rose Bowl.
I believe it was the season of 79, the Super Bowl of 80. I'd have to look it up.
Yes.
But they lost to the Steelers.
It was at Pasadena.
Yes.
On
yes.
that one. So it was still Southern California,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah.
It was still, quote unquote, L.A. for the most part. But then there was also one in Stanford, right? There was a game at Stanford.
Right.
That was San Francisco,
right,
wasn't it? So, you know, yeah, we're talking semantics here for the most part. In Tampa Bay, the fact that it's cool, I get it. Oh, you're hosting a Super Bowl and your team is there. It's going to be a home game.
You act like it's not that cool. If I told you in a couple years when we have the Super Bowl again, the Cardinals are going to a home Super Bowl, come on.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's not cool.
Okay.
I'm just saying is that we're talking semantics when you look
at
San
Francisco.
Oh, I
see what you say. It's never happened.
And the Rams
and
what happened.
Okay.
You know, just two different stadiums, same city, basically, two different stadiums.
And it didn't quite make starting five, so I've got to say it. Darcy Kuemper.
Darcy
that game yesterday. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. 59 minutes
they needed
of unbelievable hockey. And there were stretches where both teams were dominating. I mean, it was a fantastic game. And, oh, did that stink at the end to give up a goal. All right. I got it off my chest.
And now it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories. Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Hope you had a good weekend, Vince.
Number five.
Number five this morning is actually tonight. ASU men's basketball. If you were supposed to win that game before the weekend, maybe you'll do it tonight. But a strange tip-off time. Thank you, Larry Scott. 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock tip-off in Tucson. ASU going at it. You've got Kyle and Tim will have your play-by-play coming up tonight right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
It's awesome to be 18 once again.
Number four.
Number four this morning. Back-to-back losses. Three total overtimes. One overtime on Friday, two overtimes on Saturday. One game without Devin Booker.
I was unbelievably proud of the way we fought tonight. We had guys cramping up, couldn't finish the game. Chris, you know, at his age, to continue to battle and compete the way he did, play 42 minutes and you know, almost have a triple-double, it was pretty impressive. You know, they made plays, we made plays, we just couldn't make, you know, enough of them to win the game.
Don't want to overreact. Nobody play near to the oh God, please. Nobody do it. But it's time to reset.
Number three.
Number three, the AFC Championship game. Sean McDermott, a 4th and 2. Sean McDermott, a 4th and 8. All inside the 10-yard line of the Chiefs, and you came away with 6 points.
We didn't get the result we wanted to tonight. You know, give the credit where credit's due. They played a really, really good game. We got a lot of speed. But this is a learning experience for us. That's how you have to look at it. We had a great season and came up a little bit short tonight, and that's a great football team on the other side.
Kansas City was the better team, ladies and gentlemen. Ron Wolfley reporting.
Number two,
the NFC side of things.
Yeah, Bill, I'm just pretty gutted. You know, it's a long season. You put so much into it to get to this point. And then, you know, the way, you know, we had our chances. So, you know, I'm not, different position the last couple of these where we got blown out and didn't really have a chance. You know, they went up 3 scores. We battled back with a couple scores. Defense came up with some big turnovers, and yeah, we had a lot of chances. So, but yeah, overall, just pretty gutted.
Lots of disconcerting things in the NFC Championship game, right?
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning is just the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl. Being able to go up against one of the greatest, if not the greatest, quarterback of all time in his 150th Super Bowl, I mean, it's going to be a great experience for me. I mean, to go out there and have a chance to repeat and get to do it against the best. I mean, it's something special, and I'm excited for the opportunity.
In case you didn't know, they've played 4 times, Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. Your score? Pat Mahomes 121, Tom Brady 120. Here we go.
2-2.
Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Okay. Good morning, Basinonians. Yes, indeed, the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning broadcasting on a Grateful Nation Monday. Aren't we all so grateful? Somehow, some way, the NFL. Somehow, some way, we have gotten through an NFL season, and we have a Super Bowl to play.
I'm not saying anything political. You decide the way you want your health department in your state to handle a pandemic. But strictly from a sports point of view, wasn't it nice to hear fans?
Yeah, oh, no doubt.
In the 2 championship
yes.
games. Oh, my goodness, was that nice. And I have, you know, when you're not there, I can say this being on the sidelines of ASU for so many years, and I'm sure you feel the same way. There's never been a television game that does justice, good or bad, to the real level of crowd noise.
Right.
You never know, is it that loud, is it not? And you know, Joe Buck, and the whole time during the NFC Championship game, kept talking about how loud it was in there, but the audio on the TV broadcast did not paint that picture at all. So I don't know if it was just a case where it's been so long since he's heard crowd noise, or if it really was. But I will say in the AFC Championship game, the Bills were running a silent count, and I don't remember the last time I saw us.
No.
Maybe you've seen enough NFL this year as a fan. Like, oh, no, they did it at this game or this game. But to see a silent count again, wow, what is that?
I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Whoever made the decision up in Lambeau Field to actually give the fans, what was it?
What were those things? Yes.
What were they doing? They look like boogie boards or something
that
like
sign,
that.
Those
and
signs they are banging them on the bleachers.
They're banging the signs on the bleachers. I could not even believe it. You could hear the noise. It made an awful lot of noise. That was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it was.
Somebody said, how can we take this bad situation? This is something the Warrior Queen is infamous for, of We of the Wu Fang Clan and the Wolf League compound base in Orleans. She will make something that is a negative positive, all right? She'll take something that's a negative, it's clearly a negative, and make it into a positive. It's a beautiful, beautiful gift by her creator, but she will do that on a regular basis. And to see the Green Bay Packers somehow say, hey, we're not going to have a lot of fans here, but you know what? We can take these boards and we can bang these things. And that's exactly what they did. They did that by intent. I thought that was brilliant.
Because the fact that Mahomes is America's darling and that Brady is far and away, it's no longer a conversation of is he the best quarterback of all time. It's now is he the best player of all time. Where does he rank with Jordan and Babe Ruth, you know, and the greats of all sports?
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
That's where we're at now with Brady. This isn't going to get a ton of attention until later on in the week. But what did Brady want to talk about?
I'm so happy for him.
Bruce Arians is in a Super Bowl.
Yes.
And, absolutely. I mean, it's amazing. It's, I think for me in my experience, it's not, you know, for me, I don't think about what it means for me. I do think about what it means for everyone else. And it's an amazing achievement for BA. I'm so happy for him. The staff he put together, Coach Bowles, what Byron's done, what Keith's done. And, you know, the whole coaching staff's put us in a great position for us to go out there and do our jobs well. And you know, it's taken a lot of different people over the course of the season on offense, defense, special teams to come through. And, you know, that's why we're still playing. There's going to be two teams left playing. We're going to be one of them. And, again, just an incredible journey for all of us and just proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, that was my number one takeaway right there was B.A. and Brady are going to Super Bowl 55. And, Douglas, regardless of what happens in the Super Bowl, Brady won the battle of Belichick versus Brady. Did he not? He did. I mean, the best way to say it is this. Players win games and coaches lose them, basically. He won that argument.
I wonder if Belichick will ever recant on that. Maybe I should. Because I think a lot of you might have heard it. Bruce Arians had his little dig earlier in the week that he said, I allowed Tom Brady to coach this year.
Yeah.
New England didn't. And that was, you know, and Bruce couldn't just say, this is what I did without throwing in the New England slam. And you, listen, I'm never going to question Bill Belichick and say, you don't know how to get to a Super Bowl.
Right.
But he decided, I'm the coach, you're the player. But when you hear BA say that, it is pretty fair to ask, you know, Bill, couldn't you have let up a little bit realizing it only benefits you if Tom Brady is put in that position? How is it a bad thing if you put him in a position of being more involved? And we've heard legend, great stories over the years that we've been together and hopefully that you've been listening from Carson Palmer about how invested he was into the Bruce Arians offense because that's the position Bruce puts his quarterback in and you see it pay off once again.
Yeah, even though ultimately the Bucs won the game here, there were some doubts, right, in regard, I mean, Tom Brady, by way of example, when I say there was a lot of disconcerting things that happened in this game, based on audience, Tom Brady threw three straight picks on consecutive possessions at the end of the third and into the fourth quarter. We're talking about crunch time. Three straight picks.
And he was on pace to have
that
a legendary day.
That was disconcerting right there,
yeah,
was it not?
Absolutely.
Just watching the Dalai Lama with a fit of road rage slapping somebody.
We'll get into the NFC Championship game pretty hardcore in just a second. We're kind of, and I realize, hey, what are you going to talk about fourth and goal? I am. I just can't believe it. So we're going to get into that coming up in the next beautiful part of the program. But this is just kind of celebrating the fact that we actually have a Super Bowl. Bruce, when did it feel like you were the NFC champions headed to Tampa?
I guess when I was holding the Halas Trophy, it's like, oh my gosh, we're actually going to do it, and we can dream about looking across the street for 2 weeks.
And and now you're in it.
Yeah, that's the scary thing about coming to the Super Bowl at home. We've been playing so good on the road, and this was fun because we had loud fans, and man, this was football for the first time this year for me. I mean, the fans were great here, and what an unbelievable atmosphere. But to be able to come home and play Super Bowl at our place and not have to get on a plane and do all the things that this crazy year that has us doing, it would be weird. It would not even feel like Super Bowl when we don't have all those damn press conferences.
You know, just listening to B.A. say that right there reminds me that we're tracking on B.A. right now, okay? We are. We're tracking on B.A. We have made contact, albeit a vague, veiled. We do have a name that we have to contact, okay? Aaron, I need to tell you that after the beautiful part of the program here. I need to get you that name, but it reminded me right there that we are tracking for B.A., and hopefully we're going to be able to get him. Nail him.
Wow,
bring awesome. Him down.
You know, one thing I don't know.
Jason Light returned a text.
And I need to, I need to call the contact the Cardinals, see if any of them know the answer to this question. But normally, part of your Super Bowl preparation is it's already set in stone that the NFC champion, like one team's champion, will practice at the home site of the team, and the other champion will usually go to basically the best college in the area is part of the Super Bowl hosting package. And so, like, when we host a Super Bowl, normally the Cardinals will let their facility be used by one team, and the other team goes to, and I believe they use the ASU bubble normally to get ready for the games, if I'm not mistaken. I'm wondering, was it already set that the NFC champion uses the Tampa Bay facilities? Is there any chance Tampa has to move from their facility? Because if I'm the Chiefs, I'd like to kick the Bucks out of their home facility
that
if there's any
so
way.
Crazy, would it not?
I don't want you to feel like you're at home in any way. You've got to go over to South Florida or whoever it is that's hosting.
That would honestly, it can't be that.
I don't know.
It can't be that.
It would seem to make sense that since the Bucks are an NFC team, it's already said that the NFC is hosted by the Bucks. And, oh, hey, look, it just happens to be you. But I don't know if they've ever thought of that.
Can you imagine if, in fact, that were the case?
That they get kicked out.
Where they get kicked out of
their own
facility.
And the Chiefs are in the Bucks locker room all week.
Man, that would almost be more of a detriment to the Bucks than it would be a benefit to the Bucks.
Would you be so nervous that you left something laying on the floor? There's something that Chiefs see on a board somewhere.
It would just be that's too disconcerting right there. How unusual that would be. That goes beyond the pal. I think that would be a major detriment to the Bucks as opposed to a major advantage for the Bucks.
I got to look that up. I just thought of that, and I haven't done a lot of research on it. Kind of one of those things that pops out in the middle of the show, and then you think, I could have called somebody before I said that, but I'm interested in it. Coming up next, we got a big focus here on now the games themselves. If you're a Chiefs or Bills fan, we're looking at your game in about 15 or 20 minutes. Hardcore look at the AFC Championship game. We still got Suns to look at. But up next, Tom Brady did it, and it's not all Matt LaFleur's fault. But what in the world are you thinking? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. That's funny every time. Quick note, thanks to Trent. Trent just tweeted me, and thanks for doing the show prep that I should be responsible for, Trent. I missed this.
I hear Trent, and I think of Edwards.
Oh, really?
Immediately.
Being an Ohio Bobcat, I think of Gary Trent, the Shaq of the Mac. But
Trent,
it wasn't quite his fault, but one time we were at a kind of one of those charity cocktail parties. It was just my daughter and I, and somebody rudely put a drink on a table, like one of those high bar type of counters when there's no bar. It's just an arbitrary counter to rest things on. Put a drink right behind Trent Green's elbow. So then Trent Green turned around and knocked the drink over and it splashed on Vienna.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
So he apologized left and right.
I can only imagine.
And then I think Vienna was like 8 at the time.
Yes. Or,
no. We were there when she was much younger, so she's probably like 6, 7 at the time. And so he went back to the bar and bought her another Sprite or a root beer or whatever she was drinking.
And, of course, once you think of Trent Edwards, the only thing you can think of is the gas man, Adrian Wilson, wiping him out.
The reason I said Trent is Trent tweeted me and said, hey, this just got announced yesterday. But if you just tuned in, I was talking about how crazy it is that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the first team ever to host a Super Bowl in their building. And I was wondering, you know, is there any chance they get kicked out of their facility? And this is a positive thing. I forgot that there's this whole pandemic going on. So the NFL announced the Chiefs have their choice of getting to the Super Bowl one day or 2 days before, but no more than that. So everything's different this year. The Chiefs have chosen to fly in day before. So the Chiefs aren't getting in there to a Super Bowl until like the regular time they would travel to any game.
Wow.
The night before they're going to Tampa. So they're going to do all of their prep work in Kansas City just like any other game.
Wow, that is amazing.
That's amazing to me about what an eliminated type of distraction that is. And I mean an eliminated distraction. You just stay right here. Focus on your game. You don't have to worry about traveling or anything.
Yeah, you do. You're right about that, Doug Lease, but you do think about, man, there are people that have never been to this thing, and oh, what a great time that must be. And oh, they might be missing out on something huge, the experience of actually Super Bowl week.
I agree, but what is Super Bowl week? It's just going to be Zoom press conferences anyway.
Yeah.
There's not going to be an experience.
No, I know. I'm talking about the fact that there isn't going to be an experience
there's no reason
whatsoever
for you to go.
Just to get there and get acclimated as to the weather and how the humidity feels are going to fly
That's
in
true.
The day before. That's interesting.
Speaking of the NFC Championship game, Matt LaFleur is going to have to deal with it the rest of his life.
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? But it was just the circumstances of having 3 shots and coming away with no yards and knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you'd need the 2-point. So the way I was looking at it was we essentially had 4 timeouts with the 2-minute warning. And, you know, we knew we needed to get a stop. And I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end. But, you know, we got called for the PI. It didn't work out. So I think anytime something doesn't work out, do you regret it? Sure. But we're always going to be process driven here. And the way our defense was battling, the way our defense was playing, we felt like it was the right decision to do. And it just didn't work out.
I so understand the old line, hey, you got to make a decision, you go with it. Mm-hmm. I don't care about analytics in this situation. It's really – and he's right. They had three shots at first and goal, second goal, third and goal, and did not score. But sometimes I think far too often coaches overcomplicate things, and they don't just say this simple phrase. Would I rather have the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hand or Tom Brady's? And yeah. Tom Brady was fantastic in the first half and not even average in that third quarter and the beginning of the fourth quarter. Those were some bad picks. But the idea of saying on – I realize it's 4th-and-8, but you're saying I'd rather have Tom Brady with the ball even though I've got 4 timeouts than have the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hands. How do you say that phrase with a straight face and mean it?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying right there, Douglas. It was. It raised eyebrows in the Wolfley compound. 3 straight Aaron Rodgers passes on first and goal in a must-have touchdown possession for the Packers, which resulted in 3 points. That, to me, I was a little surprised. I know the Bucs have an excellent rush defense, Bazinonians. They do. But the Packers are good at running the ball. And they had some success in the game. Now, I'm not going to say they lined up and said, we're gonna run the ball. That's what we're going to do right here. But they averaged over 4 yards a carry, the Green Bay Packers. And it wasn't like you had Aaron Rodgers running wild. I'm talking about running backs. Aaron Jones, by way of example, averaged 4.5 yards per carry. Now, I know he didn't snap one off, didn't break one off. But for the most part, I thought, especially in the second half, the Green Bay Packers ran the ball effectively enough where play action actually was effective. And because of that, I was surprised to see them line up on first and goal at the 8 and 3 straight Aaron Rodgers passes. I thought to myself, you got to be in 4 down right here. I'm thinking you got to be in 4. You got to score a touchdown right here, because if you kick the field goal and then all of a sudden you don't know. I know you've got a lot of timeouts. I know you got the 2-minute warning, but it's Tom Brady, to your point. So I didn't like that. I didn't like the decision to actually kick the field goal in that situation. I think I would have rolled the dice and had Aaron Rodgers on a 4th-and-8.
You're nicer than me. I admit I thought it was one of the top 5 worst coaching decisions I've ever seen. Well, I don't know.
At least he was thinking about the game. I like that. At least Matt LaFleur was thinking about his defense, and he thought his defense had done a really good job.
And I'm not. And listen, if it was a regular season game against an average, even an above average quarterback, I'm not going nuts. It is you, but you've got that guy and they've got that guy. And sometimes it breaks down to just that. And even in that series, I would say Aaron Rodgers was, I don't want to say inaccurate, that's too strong, but was a hair off on one of the throws to Adams. But Devontae's got to make the catch anyway.
Yeah.
On the back shoulder.
Yeah.
And then there was another one where he forced it to Adams when, gosh, I believe it was Lazard, but I can't remember who had flashed right in front of him who was open right at the goal line. And he missed that. And that was all in that series.
It was on the slant.
Yes.
It was Lazar.
Yes. Yeah, right on the inside slant when he threw it over him. So, you know, you had some good play calls that just weren't executed. So it's not like I thought the play calls were terrible. I'm kind of with you, maybe run once. But the plays worked.
Yeah,
just weren't executed. But the 4th down, and I can't get over. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I think you should have run on 3rd down, meaning you had that. But how are you going to question Aaron Rodgers ever saying, I think I can score this touchdown with my arm?
Yes,
I know. So I'm not going to go nuts, but I think he should have run.
I was shocked he didn't pull it down.
Pick up the 4 yards. Maybe you get all the way into the end zone. But either way, it's 4th and goal from the 4 or 4th and goal from the 1. It's something or it's a touchdown.
Yeah.
But that decision, again, I'm going to boil it very simple. It's not always right to kick a field goal or to go for it when you're down by 8. But when they've got the greatest of all time, and you've got not quite greatest of all time, but pretty darn good, you keep the ball in your quarterback's hands 100% of the time.
Yeah, there were a lot of things in this game that I thought were disconcerting. I mean, I've already talked about Tom Brady and the fact that he threw three straight picks on consecutive possessions. Think about that. In the third quarter, the last two possessions in the third quarter, he threw picks to end those drives. And then the first possession in the fourth quarter, same thing. That was whoa, that was weird to see Tom Brady in that situation make those kind of mistakes.
This is afterwards, this is Aaron Rodgers on the decision to kick.
Well, I didn't have a decision on that one. That wasn't my decision. But I understand the thinking above 2 minutes with all of our timeouts, but... Yeah,
it
wasn't my decision.
Okay.
Well, that was not quite an endorsement.
Because the normal phrase there is, you know, I've got to get that ball in on the first three downs. You know, if you're not upset, you say that. When you're upset, you say it wasn't my decision. So then it becomes, well, I mean, you are Aaron Rodgers. Can you convince Matt, you know, hey, no, we are going for it?
I don't know. That's a tough one, Rob. I look over the sideline. I see, you know, five big guys around the field. There's a lot of gymnastics that has to happen to get us, you know, to be able to go for it there. But,
yeah,
I don't know. That decision was made, and we moved on.
Boom.
And then the kicker of it, and no pun intended, was how Aaron Rodgers finished the presser.
A lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. That's what's sad about it most, getting this far. Obviously, there's going to be an end to it at some point, whether we make it past this one or not. But just the uncertainty is tough, and the finality of it all.
The uncertainties, including myself. Oof.
Yeah, it's a situation you have to wonder about with Aaron Rodgers. And at the same time, this is what everyone goes through. Everyone is – I don't think Aaron Rodgers is anywhere close to being done. Can we all agree on that one right here?
Done as a quarterback or done as a Packers quarterback?
No, done as a quarterback.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you.
I don't think he's anywhere close to being done as a quarterback. And if you're the Green Bay Packers right now, stop and think about this. How in the world does Aaron Rodgers somehow, some way, walk out of that building? How does that happen? How does that happen when you're talking about one of the greatest quarterbacks you've ever had in your franchise history?
It's a weird scenario because contract-wise, he's not going anywhere. But if he doesn't want to be there, he doesn't want to be there, and how are you going to handle it? Now, is his emotions going to change later? Because Matt LaFleur is the youngest coach in the history of football to go to back-to-back championship games in his first 2 years as a head coach.
Yes.
Okay, that's crazy. So do you really want to walk away from that? But at the same time, what we saw, to me, was just how raw the selection of a quarterback in the first round still is. I still think he's that upset about it, and I think what this is a leverage play of you better come to me and talk to me about your future decisions if I'm staying. Sell me. Recruit me.
Yeah.
What are we doing in the first round? What are you giving me? What are we going to do in free agency? And if I don't hear what I want to hear, then I'm forcing your hand because I have options.
I just wonder, are you kidding me, Aaron Rodgers? Are you really going to do that? You're going to force your way out of the Green Bay Packers. You got 3 years left on that contract right now. You're not going to let him walk away. And I'm using this metaphor, walking out of the building, to fit a lot of different scenarios that possibly could happen. But the bottom line is, Green Bay, you're going to let Mark Murphy, you're going to let him walk away. You're going to let him walk out of this organization, whether you're trading him out of it or what? No.
Coming
up, not going to do that.
Coming up in an hour, 7:45, the question that nobody wants to hear, is there any chance Aaron Rodgers is in the NFC West next year? That's in an hour. Coming up next, AFC time. Field goals, field goals, field goals against Patrick Mahomes on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Okay, a clap.
Did you see Brady's Twitter post?
I didn't.
So
I'm
he's
sorry.
Walking out with Gronk,
yes.
And they're playing this song.
Okay.
And they're just flaunting their NFC champion
t-shirts. Oh, is that right? The NFC champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Knock yourself out. Have a good time. AFC-wise, Chiefs a winner, 38-24. And it's kind of funny. It is a cheesy question, but it just allows Andy Reid just to go, what does Patrick Mahomes give to the Chiefs?
Yeah, well, listen, you guys are seeing him grow right in front of you here. So he's a homegrown right here in Kansas City for the National Football League part of it. And I think you're seeing the steps that he's taken. And I sit there and I'm an old guy that seen a couple of pretty good quarterbacks. And I just keep going, this guy seems to amaze me a little bit more every game. So I'm proud of the way he handles it most of all, though. He doesn't, you know, you guys aren't writing stories of this guy's got a big head, this and that, you know, he's showing people up and no, he's about the team and he's all in and he works his tail off and, you know, he does it the right way.
I wish this game was a little bit better. Mm. I was hoping this game was going to be a little bit better, a little bit more contested right here. And it got a little sideways, as we all know, in the second half, and the Chiefs clearly were the better team, Ron Wolfley reporting. But they put so much pressure on you. The incredible thing about watching a Kansas City Chiefs game is they put so much pressure on your team. It's not just your defense that they put pressure on. They put so much pressure on your special teams to be almost perfect. They put so much pressure on your offense to go out and score points. It's very much, we've said this before, like arena football.
Mm-hmm.
They put so much pressure on your team. If you're not going out there and you're not scoring points, you're losing. What you're doing.
It's interesting you said that because I really questioned Sean McDermott's decision-making in this game because it was the Chiefs. And in no way do I do it against anybody else. In any normal situation, I totally kick the field goal going into halftime. You got to get points. But that's the Chiefs, and you're not going to win the game on field goals. And they went, they kicked on 4th-and-2 at the end of the first half, and then in the second half they kicked on 4th-and-8. So that's 6 points you score instead of the chance at 14. And when you're playing the Chiefs, you can't give them 8 points. I have talked to a ton of arena football coaches, and I don't mind admitting one of my best friends in the Valley is the head coach of the Rattlers. In arena football, a field goal is a stop. That's a stop.
Yes.
Your defense won. I think it's the same thing when you play the Chiefs. When you kick a field goal, they won. Because their offense is not just going to kick a field goal. And so Sean McDermott, when you talk about pressure and how it changes people, this is one of those things where the pressure didn't change Sean McDermott, and that's a negative.
Yeah.
He needed to realize, I'm going up against Patrick Mahomes. The normal rules don't apply. And I'm not saying they would have got the touchdown.
Yeah.
But I would rather lose not getting the touchdowns on fourth down than lose kicking field goals, because then you're just helpless.
Yeah, I had rooting interest in this game, Basinonians. And my first rooting interest is always, and I really don't care who's playing, it's always, I want to see a great game. Are you kidding me? This is championship weekend. We want to see football in all its glory. We want to see it in all three phases. We want to see the struggle. We want to see it contested. I don't want to see a coronation. I want to see a competition. That's always first. That's always number one, what I'm hoping to see in these games. Playoffs in general, for the most part. But after that, I wanted to see the Buffalo Bills. I wanted to see the Buffalo Bills possibly do something incredible. And it was almost like coming into this game, because I am from the park, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to see Sean McDermott be irresponsible. Just be in four down territory every time you get in the red zone. Just be in four down territory every time. Field goals aren't going to allow you to win games against the Kansas City Chiefs. Touchdowns will give you the opportunity to beat the Chiefs. Go into the red zone in a four down territory mode, unless a field goal is going to win the game for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless a field goal will give you momentum going into the half. Something.
And I'll always say, this is why I think Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time, not just because he won all those Super Bowls and did it in the salary cap era, but that famous decision that didn't work, when he went for it on fourth down in a regular season game way back in his own territory in the 30s against the Colts, because his opinion was, I'd rather have Brady have the ball than Peyton Manning. Because that decision, to me, is wrong 99% of the time. And that was the 1%.
Especially on that day. Because on that day. How Manning was rolling.
Yes. So you're changing with the flow of the game. You're not relying on what an analytics says, because this whole mass communication of math says you lose the game when this happens. But the math doesn't say they've got Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And in this situation, I think Sean McDermott has to say the right decision 99% of the time is to kick. But against that quarterback, against that offensive coaching staff, and against those weapons that Pat Mahomes has, yeah, I've got to go for it. We've got to keep up with them points-wise.
Yes, you have to. The Bills were 2 of 5 in the red zone. The Chiefs, 5 of 6. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it.
Mm.
2 of 5 in the red zone, and the Chiefs, 5 of 6 in the red zone. That's what they do. They put so much pressure on your team. They put pressure on you. It's irresponsible for me to say that about Sean McDermott going in saying it's 4-down territory. Every time we're in the red zone, we're scorn or bust. And every time I think of the pressure that the Kansas City Chiefs put on you, I think of how unfair Tyreek Hill is. Do you see what this guy does? This guy, he dominated the game. He dominated the game for the Kansas City Chiefs. He dominated the AFC Championship game, even when he was nowhere near the ball. You have to account for where Tyreek Hill is on every stinking play.
In watching this game and the AFC Championship game, I was thinking, if you just tuned in, it's Doug and Wolf in the Auction Community Studios. We're going to talk Suns here in about 10 minutes. But I was actually thinking of Pitts, the really good Florida tight end that I've talked a little bit about. I don't know if he'll still be on the board when the Cardinals pick.
Right.
But based on everything you're saying based on everything you're saying about Tyreek Hill, I think he would be amazing without Kelsey. I think Kelsey would be amazing without him. But the combination of trying to stop the two of them, just to give you some numbers, would you say you would be happy with your quarterback in a championship game going 22 of 26 for 290 and 2 touchdowns?
Yeah, I'd be pretty good with that.
Those are the numbers when targeting Hill and Kelsey alone.
Oh, boy.
22. Man. He threw 2 incomplete passes to both guys. Completed 22 passes for 290 yards and 2 touchdowns. Just to those two guys alone. Who are you going to stop? And then you throw on that Edwards-Helaire that's keeping you honest. And I'm not saying Mahomes is a super running quarterback as good as Josh Allen.
Right.
But we all know he can get you a first down with his legs if he has
to. No doubt.
So you've got those weapons. What does, and again, DeAndre Hopkins is not the same as Tyreek Hill, but what does it do if you've got a tight end that does anything Kelsey-esque?
Yes.
I'm not saying Pitts is going to be Kelsey either, but I just was thinking about that how do you stop both of them? You can't.
Yeah, it's so difficult right there. But Tyreek Hill, 9 catches for 172 yards, did not score a touchdown. 9 catches for 172 yards. Actually, I thought he dropped a touchdown pass.
Yeah, yeah.
But
and I'm shocked he didn't get in on the pop pass that he ran so far down the field.
Just watching the way the Buffalo Bills, everything was dictated by Tyreek Hill. And
they still couldn't stop.
I love watching Kansas City play, too. And I've talked about this before, but it's so true. They take Tyreek Hill and, everybody, look, it's Tyreek. Here he is. He's over here. Look at the way he's moving. All these motions, this eye candy ball motion that they pull, and then they run a base play.
Yeah.
It's just.
And give Tyreek Hill a lot of credit for something else, too. Do you ever see Tyreek Hill go into motion with the attitude, I'm a decoy?
Yeah.
Never. Yeah. He runs every motion like his life depends on it. And if he never slows down, he never does anything to give away, he's not getting the ball on this play.
Hey, they ISO'd him a couple of times when he didn't get the ball, when he was running routes away from where the ball was going. Did you see them ISO in the effort of Tyreek?
Yes.
He dominates the game. Even when he doesn't get the ball. It's the reason why Henry Ruggs III was the first wide receiver taken by the Raiders in hope that he might be Tyreek Hill.
Coming up next, the Phoenix Suns. We're now at the point that the Suns have a problem. Wolf thinks it's kind of important. I think time will fix it. We'll tell you what it is next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.